In our short time that we have together in the Word this morning, I wanted to call your attention to such a great text of Scripture in the life and teachings of John, this time specifically the teachings of John. And it has to do with the Holy Spirit's work in us. If Jesus had decided that he was only going to come to broken people like you and me, because we're all so broken, if he had decided that he's only going to come to broken people like you and me, and he's going to put medicine on our wounds and splint our broken bones and give us crutches so that we could get along in life, if he decided that that's what he wanted to do, then that would have been so gracious and so generous, like the little Dianu song that we sing sometimes at Easter, that would have been enough. But that's not what he did. Instead, he came to us and decided that he would give us everlasting life on the inside, and that we would actually heal from the inside out. So it's not about bandages and ointments and splints and crutches. It's like from the inside out, you get better. And that is so wonderful. That's what this is about in John chapter 7. The last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." All right. Feast of Tabernacles. 7 days proper with an 8th day addendum. And every day for the Feast of Tabernacles, the priest takes his golden pitcher, holds about a quart of water. He takes his pitcher over to the pool of Siloam. You remember one time Jesus had a blind man wash his eyes there and he could see. The pool of Siloam is inside the city gates. The pool of Siloam is fed from outside the city of Jerusalem in the spring Gihon, which is very important because when the city of Jerusalem was under attack, it came in Hezekiah's mind that he would like to have a water source that could not be conveniently cut off. And so springs of Gihon, the water just bubbles up from the ground right there. And so Hezekiah built a tunnel, 1/3 of a mile long. That's 500 football fields long. And you can actually walk in this tunnel today. And it's filled with water. And the spring bubbles up, goes down Hezekiah's tunnel until it comes to the pool of Siloam and it fills the pool. So every day, Feast of Tabernacles, the priest takes his golden pitcher, about a quart of water. He fills it up at the pool and then he goes to the Temple Mount. And when he gets there, they all march all the way around. He ascends up 15 stairs. He pours the golden pitcher into a silver bowl. The silver bowl is perforated. It has holes on the bottom. And it empties out onto the altar where all the sacrifices are. And then they also do a wine sacrifice. That's part of the sacrifice every single morning. On the 7th day, however, the great day of the feast, they don't march around the altar, just one priest. Many, many priests come. And the procession from the pool, lots of people. Flute players playing the 113th to the 118th songs. People singing, and then they stop. They're not allowed to go too close to the altar, but the priestly entourage march 7 times around the altar, and then one of those priests ascends up, pours the water into the bowl, and that's the great day of the feast. So Jesus is part of this. There's been singing, there has been marching. Some of the people have taken a drink from the pool of Siloam while they were there, and they're all celebrating. And that day, the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he said, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And John now is teaching. This is not Jesus' words. This is John's words. He said, "But this Jesus spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." Not yet, because this is almost a year before the day of Pentecost. So a year in the future. "Which they that believe on him should receive a year from now. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." That's a teaching of John. It's a really big teaching. And today we want to talk about what's involved with that, with two ideas. I just want to explain the metaphor to you for a moment. And then I want to talk about the experience of the metaphor, which is phenomenal. So you have to understand that Jesus said, "He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And we look in the scripture and we say, "Now, where does it say that, Lord?" It doesn't say that like in quotes. It'd be like me telling you, well, the Bible says that you should be honest. Well, you could ransack the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and you're never going to find a quote that says you should be honest. But the Bible does say that you should be honest, right? And that's what Jesus is doing here. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the scripture does say that. So Isaiah 44:3, the Lord says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. You can see the connection here, right? I will pour water on him that is thirsty, and floods, like lots of water, on that thirsty guy who's like dry ground. And then you say, well, what's the water? And here we have the parallelism, so we can't miss it. I will pour my spirit. Like, oh, you're going to pour water on the thirsty person. You're going to pour your spirit on the thirsty person, and it's going to be a blessing. Ah, we get it. You know, that is what the scripture says. I am going to pour water. I'm going to pour my spirit on these thirsty people. And then the same thing in Ezekiel 35:25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, as a water reference, not quite the same as pouring. You shall be clean from all your filthiness. In verse 26, a new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Because Jesus says, out of your belly, you know, within you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away your stony heart and give you a soft heart of flesh. And here it is again. I will put my spirit within you. So out of your belly, this doesn't just happen from the outside. I'm not putting bandages and ointment and crutches and splints on the outside. I'm talking about on the inside this is going to happen. And as Jesus says it, the scripture says that from within you will be this river of living water, the Holy Spirit. And so the scripture does indeed say that. That's the metaphor, and it's a great metaphor. We can see all of the places where that is talked about in scripture. Remember John the Baptist, who baptized people in real water, you know, normal water. He says when Messiah comes, he's going to baptize you not with real ordinary water, but with the Holy Spirit. So water is like the Holy Spirit, and that's our metaphor. And Jesus says, this is just going to come springing up out of you, and it's a great idea. There are three ideas here that are really great, and we can't talk about them in detail, but we can mention them, right? The first one is regeneration. Regeneration is the same as rebirth. You see, re, in both cases, rebirth, regeneration. Re is again, and generation and birth, you know, that's the same. And so we're talking about being born again. When we are born again, if you've had a background, if you had a history of sin, think about this. To come to a day in your life and have the Lord essentially tell you all that you've done wrong, all that your history involves that causes you regret and shame, it's like that never happens. It's like you're born today, all fresh and new. It just never happened. You're born again, regenerated. Another way of saying it was resurrection. We are raised to walk in newness of life. It's like all of that never happened. That's so great. In our text from John 7, Jesus said, he that believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. From within you, you're going to have living water. Because remember, the spring of Gihon there just bubbles up from the ground. It always, you know, after all of these years, 2,000 years later, it's still bubbling up from the ground. So he says, it's just going to bubble up. And how long will it last? It will be, you know, everlasting life. In John 4, with the woman at the well, Jesus had the same doctrine. He said, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain, because that's how Gihon is, right? A fountain just bubbles up from the ground. A fountain of water springing up. How long? I mean, just forever. It just keeps springing up from within you, not from the outside, from within. And that's what it means, in part, to be born again. Jesus, it would have been so nice if he just fixed us up from the outside, but he doesn't. He fixes us up from the inside. It'd be so nice if the Lord said, now listen here. I am going to give you a ticket to my Disney World, and as long as you have your ticket, you can go in. That would have been so nice. That would have been so gracious. But he doesn't do that. He says, you're going to be born into my Disney World. You don't need a ticket. You come here anytime you jolly well please. It's your Disney World. Born into this. It's not just from the outside. As long as you have your ticket, you're good. It's from the inside. You belong. You're born into this family. You're born into this kingdom. You belong here. It's all yours. And it's so simple, right? Because verse 38 just says, he that believes in me. How simple is that? Spy, that was what we all called him. He worked with the Friends of Israel Mission Organization in Jerusalem for many years. Holocaust survivor as a kid. Come forward in time to where he's a young man in his 40s and he's a Christian and he's a Jewish person who's a Christian and he lives in Jerusalem and he just died a couple years ago. He lives in Jerusalem and he tells everybody about Messiah and of course in Jerusalem that doesn't always work real well, but that's what he does. And so Zvi is about 45 years old and he has a neighbor friend and the neighbor friend is, of course, Jewish, and their boys play together. But when the neighbors find out that Zvi and his family are Christians, then the mother of the Jewish house says, well, you can't play with Zvi's son's children anymore. You don't play with them. And also, she tells her husband, I don't think you should talk to Zvi anymore either. And so the guy always did talk to Zvi. And he was telling Zvi one day, he said, you know, the anti-missionary organization, you know, they're Jewish people who don't like the Christians. They come to my door and they always talk to me and I always give them money. I totally disagree with you. I don't even want you to say the things that you're saying. But somehow I always end up coming over here and talking to you. I wonder why. And Zvi said, well, I wonder if it's like Jonah being drawn by God to Nineveh and you can't help yourself. And the guy said, well, maybe so. And one day, he was asking Zvi about how to pray, and Zvi gave him a New Testament. And he showed him Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. And the man liked that very much. Next day, the man's wife comes over to Zvi and he says, hey, why did you give my husband that wicked book, that New Testament? And she said, that's not for Jewish people. And Zvi said, well, do you think Jeremiah the prophet was Jewish? And she said, of course. And then he said, well, you know, in Jeremiah 31, he shows her Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah actually talked about the New Testament, the New Covenant. Testament and covenant are the same, you know. And she had never seen that before. And she got very thoughtful and very quiet. And she left happy. The next Friday, this Jewish couple invites Zvi and his wife over for cake and coffee. And in that conversation, the Jewish man says, listen to this. And he quotes John 3:16 for Zvi. And he's very pleased with himself for being able to do that, you know? So Zvi says, do you really believe those words that you just quoted from John 3:16? And he said, with tears in his eyes, I do. Well, Zvi left happy. That Jewish couple went to bed. He went to sleep and he died in his sleep that night. Say, is he okay? Sure, he's okay. How simple is this? He that believes in me, just that. Could you do that? Zvi asked the man, do you really believe that? He says, I do. There it is. He that believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. How simple, how wonderful. Wayne Sisk was part of the 101st Airborne Division of Army Paratroopers. He was in combat on, you know, Normandy, D-Day. He was there. He dropped in. His life was on the line. And he was known as a very bad man. He was foul-mouthed and very dirty, filthy, bad guy. And he had a morbid sense of humor. He was very cruel. And when he came back from World War II, he was really messed up. He had post-traumatic stress disorder, and that manifested itself eventually in alcoholism, and he was really messed up. So he comes back home, and his own family doesn't know what to do with him. He's a hopeless drunk. He's at a family gathering. He went off by himself because he wasn't really fit to be in polite company, hungover or drunk. And so he was off in his room, still living with his parents so soon after World War II. And his four-year-old niece came in, and she said to Wayne, Uncle Wayne, we don't like that you're doing all this drinking. And we know that you keep thinking about all these people that you killed and all the bad things that you've done. But you should know that if you repented, Jesus would forgive you and all of us would too. And so he shooed her out and he said, but those words really bothered me. And he was writing to his old major, who in World War II days was a very, very committed Christian, and everybody knew about Dick's faith. So he writes Dick Winters, and he tells him basically that his little four-year-old niece's words got to him, and he gave his heart to Jesus. And he says, there and then, I bowed my head on my mother's old feather bed and repented, and God forgave me for the war and all the other bad things I've done down through the years. And I was ordained a minister in the later part of 1948. And Dick, believe me, I haven't whipped but one man since then. And he needed it. So he says, I now have 4 children, 9 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren. Lord willing, and if Jesus waits, I hope to see you at the next reunion. If not, I'll see you at the last jump. You know, because he's a paratrooper talking about dying. I'll see you at the last jump. And he says to his friend, who's also a Christian, he says, I know you won't freeze at the door when it comes time to do that last jump. Well, his last jump came in 1999, and his daughter was with him. And she said that he was so weak he couldn't even hold her hand. And then right at the very end, all of a sudden he became very animated. He started quoting a Bible verse that meant a lot to him, and then he just died just like that. That is a changed person, like born again, regenerated. Like, let's just pretend that you were born today and all that other junk that doesn't even count. And not only that, but this life is going to come from within you, and you're regenerated, and not just regenerated. By the way, this idea comes up in John often. So in 1 John, the epistles, notice everyone that does righteousness is born of him. That's born again, right? In chapter 3, verse 9, his seed remains in him and he is born of God. Born, born, born. It comes up all the time in John. This was a big deal to the Apostle John. And then there's indwelling. Indwelling is great too. Remember, it's within. So John 7:38, he that believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his belly. Think, you know, it's such a weird thing to say, out of his belly, rivers of living water. You know, I don't like that. It's weird. But we're trying to say that from within you, there's this gushing up. It's on the inside. The Lord's help doesn't just come from the outside. It does, thankfully, come from the outside. But it's not just from the outside. It's from the inside. And the same thing in John 4:14 with the woman at the well, right? The water that I will give him will become in him a fountain. Like Gihon, it just springs up from the ground. And it's yours. I mean, it's truly yours from the inside out. And this idea comes up in John all the time. So in 1 John 3:9, his seed remains in him. In 2:27, God abides in you. In 3:24, God abides in him. Again in 3:24, he abides in us. In 4:13, he is in us. You see, it's not just from the outside. This just changes everything. Your protection. You know what you need in life? You want security. Well, the Lord would have been very nice if he just dropped you in a fortress or an armored vehicle. It says there, see? Now you're secure from things on the outside. But he doesn't do that. I mean, he does that, but not only that. He gives you security from the inside. So it's not like I'm going to drop you in this fortress, and then when the bullets come, they'll bounce off the walls. It's more like Superman. I'm going to make you strong on the inside, and you don't even need to be in a fortress or an armored car, because when the bullets come, they'll bounce off you. See, that's so much better than being penned up in a fortress or in an armored car. You want security, and this is life that comes from the inside, and this burbles out, and it lasts forever and ever. It's everlasting. That is just so great. And the Lord has done this indwelling, sending his Holy Spirit to live in you, because you need security and you need significance. You know, so that's what we said before. Significance. The Lord would have been great if he gives you a ticket to Disney World and says, you can go here, here's your ticket. As long as you have your ticket, you're in. But he doesn't. It's like within you. It says, well, you just belong here. You know, Walt Disney had that little apartment above the fire station on Main Street. You go in there anytime you want to. It's just your place. You don't need a ticket. It's from within you. You just are a Disney now. You go whenever you want to. You need security. You need significance to think I really matter in this world. And you need strength. And that's what this one's about. Enablement. When the Holy Spirit gushes within you, the Lord would have been very nice if he said, here's my Rolodex, and if you need somebody with this skill, you know, fan through there, you'll see it, you call that guy, he'll come and help you. Now, the Lord does do that, but he doesn't just do that. Like, if you need a musician, you scroll through there, and you'll find a musician, and then you call him, and he'll come. Here's my Rolodex, it's all yours, you know, take care of it. That would have been so nice, but he doesn't do that. I mean, he does that, but not only that. What he really does is from the inside says, look here, whatever skill you ever need, if you need a certain skill to be a great husband or wife, you don't need a Rolodex. I put it in you. You've got that. If you need a certain skill to be a great parent, I'm not just giving you a Rolodex, although you have help along the way, people do that. I'm going to make you a good parent on the inside. I'll tell you how to do everything I ever created you to do. If you need a certain skill because you're trying to do some church work that's really important and I've called you to do it, I'm not just going to give you a Rolodex, although there's lots of help in this world. I'm going to give you the ability on the inside, just gushes out, and you're going to be able to do everything I ever call you to do. I'm going to make you able. And John 7:37 is this, right? If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. But this he spoke of the Spirit. So are you thirsty? Like, maybe you're emotionally spent, like you're down, you're anxious. So the Lord could have given you his Rolodex. Oh, if you need an emotional boost, call this guy, he's a comedian, he'll make you laugh. Or call this guy, he's a psychologist, he'll give you good insight. He could have done that, and in some ways he does that. But what he mostly does, he says, oh, are you thirsty? Well, I'm going to put my Holy Spirit inside you. He's going to gush up, and you won't be thirsty anymore. That's just amazing. In John 4:13, whoever drinks of this ordinary water in the well will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. In John 6:35, he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes in me shall never thirst. I'll just make it so that you don't even need water from the outside. You can manufacture your own water because the Holy Spirit lives inside you. It's in you. That's enablement. Of course, this comes up everywhere in Scripture. 1 John 2:20, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know what you need to know. From chapter 2, verse 27, that anointing teaches you. You're always being taught from the inside. We give you outside teachers too, but you're being taught from the inside. Same idea, 3:24, he that keeps his commandments dwells in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abides in us. Chapter 4, verse 2, you know. Chapter 4, verse 6, we're of God. He that knows God hears us. We know the Spirit of truth. Chapter 5, verse 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness. He's always talking to you. Same idea here. There are three that bear witness. For example, the Spirit. So you have all this insight, these thoughts you never otherwise would have, these emotions you never otherwise would have. And that's so wonderful. Hudson Taylor was grieving over the loss of his wife, whom he dearly loved. And at the same time, he was so sick. And he latched onto this idea that a thirsty person could have all of his thirst quenched by the Holy Spirit who dwells within. He says, how lonesome were the weary hours when confined to my room. Then it was that I understood why the Lord had made that passage so real to me about thirst being quenched by his water. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. 20 times a day, perhaps, as I felt the heart thirst coming back, I cried to him, O Lord, you promised. You've promised me that I should never thirst. And whether I called by day or night, how quickly he came and satisfied my sorrowing heart so much that I often wondered whether it were possible that my loved one, who had been taken to heaven, could be enjoying more of Jesus' presence than I was in that lonely room. See, that's it. The Lord could have given you a Rolodex, like, you know, if you're emotionally down, call these people, maybe they can help. But instead he says, no, this is going to be inside you, and you won't thirst. You're going to be okay. From the inside out, which is so great. Enablement. When you're thirsty, what do? I have told you before the story of Amazing Abby. I love this story, and it reminds me so much of some of the great truths of Christianity. You have to know that she was born 2 years after my youngest son. So, like, she's the age of what my daughter would be if I had a daughter. I didn't. But Abby Smith was diagnosed with cancer when she was just 23 years old. And they fought it real hard for a year and a half. And then it became evident that the cancer had not only returned, it had spread. It was very aggressive. And there really was nothing else they could do. But Abby is a Christian to the core of her soul. And this living water has just been gushing up through her to give her all kinds of emotional and even physical strength at times. And 1 month before she died, she began telling this story. She'd been telling it for some time, but this was her last video. After this, she wouldn't have enough strength to do another video. And so here's what she says in her last video. She says, and by the way, this is 1 month before she did actually die. She says, "There have been many, many times that I felt God's presence, this last year especially. I can't even count all of them. But I think the major one was probably last week. By human predictions, I wasn't going to make it through the night." So they thought she was going to die a month earlier than she actually did. And my family was in the hospital with me. They were worshiping and praying over me. And I never experienced such peace and joy as I did when people were coming and saying goodbye. I don't know. I just wanted people to know that it wasn't a sad thing for me to go on. And so I would just hold people's hand and look at them and smile and just try to show them that I was okay, even though I couldn't talk or breathe. I was happy, and I was drifting in and out of sleep, and there was like warmth and like so much peace. And then I woke up and I was kind of bummed because I was still here in this body. I didn't like experiencing pain, but I know that God has ordained my days here, and obviously He has a little bit more for me to do here, and I'm okay with that. I've thought a lot about why God hasn't healed me or heard my prayers and the prayers of thousands, literally thousands of people praying for me. And I think He's just been showing me that miracles are a shadow of what's to come. A miracle is just a temporary fix. And I don't know exactly why things are happening the way they are, but He's giving me so much peace about it. And I know He loves me without a doubt, He loves me, and I don't have to have a miracle to know that. And as it gets harder and harder, I just like, that's the one thing I can hold on to with all my hope and heart, and know that His relationship is the thing that is going to get me through everything, and I have eternity to look forward to with Him. And I don't know how to explain peace. It's a peace that passes all understanding, so you can't explain it. And I feel it, and my family feels it, and my friends feel it. And it's absolutely amazing. Thank you all for watching my story and being involved in my life. And what I put up here on this slide, I think just sort of captures what Jesus was saying. I'm going to put in you. My Holy Spirit is going to come gushing out like the spring of Gihon. And you're just not going to feel thirsty. You're going to be okay. No matter what happens, you're going to be okay. And she says, "I don't know how to explain peace. It's a peace that passes all understanding, so you can't explain it. But I feel it, and my family feels it, and my friends feel it, and it's absolutely amazing." And that is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. That is a really big deal. And I hope that you tap into that. Remember, as Hudson Taylor said, if I started feeling down perhaps 20 times a day, I would say, "Lord, quench my thirst." And as Hudson Taylor drew near to Jesus, Jesus drew near to him, and all was well. I'd like for you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Before we go home today, if there's a person who's never yet believed on the Lord Jesus Christ so that you could have this river of living water on the inside, can I give you just a moment of silence to do that? Once again, because I'm so late, we won't do a closing song. But I hope you'll spend just a moment. If you've never trusted Jesus, I hope you'll do that right now. And if you have trusted Him, but maybe you have forgotten to go to Him for your thirst to be quenched, can I give you a moment of silence to go to Jesus right now and draw near to Him so that you know you're going to be okay?